That presentation's loading. I was like, okay. Can you see that? Okay. Basically, this is the title of a web-based curriculum that we facilitated at HRSA. The other presenter, Nicole Mandel, wasn't able to be here, so I'll be the only one presenting. And this is my disclaimer, which everyone has to show. I was the project officer for this project that ended September 30th, 2007. The funding ended. However, the project is still, the information is still on the web, and you can access, but we don't currently offer CEUs. But the information is still available. With this project, what we attempted to do was to get experts in adolescent HIV care and also cultural competency experts to come up with a curriculum for several different types of healthcare providers, physicians, psychologists, health educators, social workers. And a little bit more about the project overview. It was done through a contract with Right Process, who also subcontracted with John Snow and used a variety of experts. And why would we have a curriculum such as this? For example, well, the most important reason is that HIV, the prevalence of HIV in youth, and it's still growing, and unfortunately. For example, in 2004, 4,883 young people received a diagnosis of HIV infection or AIDS, and also there's a high prevalence in ethnic and racial minority youth and sexual minority youth. With this curriculum, we have four modules and an introductory module, and with this we try to overlay cultural competency in delivering the care. So we discussed a little bit about health disparities, the epidemiology of HIV in youth, but we also try to emphasize that as healthcare providers, we need to provide an environment that's youth-friendly. So that means you have to take into consideration that parents and guardians are involved. Also the fact that, you know, the type of regimen you prescribe, and also just being, you know, and being receptive to young people and making them feel comfortable to talk about sensitive issues such as sexuality. And again, I said we tried to emphasize cultural competency within it. It is a web-based format, and the reason we chose that is to try and make it available 24/7. Providers, we noticed, especially like I work in the HIV/AIDS program at Hearst and Ryan White, and the clinics, the providers just cannot always have time to go travel to do training or to take time off to do training because they have clients to serve. And we also wanted to try and reach rural providers. So if you have access to a computer and the internet, you have access to the curriculum. Each curriculum was designed with several things in mind. First, we had some didactic information, which, you know, there's no way to get around that, but you have to present the information. But we also infused it with case studies so that you're working and trying to build upon what you just learned. We had some toolboxes, which are little extra information that you can take with you. Three of the curriculums actually contain videos. The psychosocial module has a video. Also, the prevention with positive has a video. And then also, which one has a video? I can't remember it just at this point. I don't know why. But there's another module with videos in it. And we also provide resources and references. So we couldn't include all that information here because the curriculum may take a couple of months instead of a few hours. But each module takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours to complete. And I mentioned the introductory module. The first module deals with psychosocial issues, and we try to discuss what a lot of providers don't realize. You have two types of youth who are HIV positive, ones that are perinatally infected and behaviorally infected, and that affects their psychological. If you're perinatally infected, there's some developmental things that you need to take into consideration when you're working with that client. Also, we talk about confidentiality and working with families. We also stress as you do an initial assessment on your first visit with that adolescent, the HEADS interview, which talks about health, education, activities, drug use or maybe abuse. Also, we talk about sexuality behavior, and then the final S deals with suicide and depression. And we also bring out some gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender issues. We discuss some of that in the curriculum that you need to ask about these things. We also have a module dealing with antiretroviral treatment adherence, and you try to come up with youth-friendly regimens, if possible, to come up with a single dose, if it's possible for that adolescent, because they're involved in activities in school, and so when you're trying to give multiple doses a day, it's very hard for an adolescent to adhere to that regimen. Also, clinical and cultural considerations, because you're dealing, as I said again, with sexuality issues that's influenced by culture and religion and also family history. We also have a transitioning module. That was a very important module. We did some focus groups and we did some surveys of providers because it's like, how do you transition an adolescent or child from pediatric care to adult care? For adolescent and pediatric care, it's very focused on health maintenance and family-centered as far as to adult, which is more, you know, patient-centered and, you know, I guess patient, but trying to prevent morbidity as opposed to just health maintenance. And also taking into consideration those other issues with family and cultural considerations while trying to work with the adolescent. We also have a prevention and the final module, prevention with positives, and looking at patient and providers. You work as a team. We emphasize the multidisciplinary team, and we have a video which deals with risk assessment, actually sexual risk assessment, so that the team can try to judge for themselves and come up with some behaviors that they can do to prevent transmission and reinfection. And we deal with some of those psychosocial issues. We bring that again in this module because those will affect how they're able to, you know, adhere to treatment regimens or provide, you know, decrease their risk behaviors. And we also address the fact that teens, as they get older, because we're talking about for adolescents, the CDC defines it between 13 to 24, so then you're talking that you may have, you're, you know, talking for females, that's childbearing years. So you have to talk about pregnancy and parenting issues. We tried to do a short evaluation, so we're saying, well, did we accomplish anything with this curriculum? And due to funding and time constraints, we did a short evaluation between July 23rd and September 10th, 2007. And with this, we only did it for the ones who were registered for continuing education credits, and it's just that you have a captive audience and you're able to get their information and get some follow-up with them 4 weeks later after completing the course. And with this, we wanted to find if there was some change in knowledge or skills, so there was a knowledge portion to that. We also wanted to assess if they had immediate intention to change, and then we checked with them 4 weeks later to see if they actually maybe tried to implement some changes or report that they still intended to implement changes. There are 558 participants that registered for CEUs from a variety of disciplines, nurses, social workers, health educators, teachers. And they also come from a variety of community settings. Most were urban. It was about 76% that were urban. And also from a variety of employment settings, about, you know, as we said here, about 27% are from community-based organizations, HIV clinics, community health centers, and hospitals. And also we had a variety of providers who actually worked with adolescents. The majority of the ones actually did not work with adolescents at all, so that was kind of surprising. You know, it's interesting that they took this curriculum and to find out how to treat adolescents, so that was interesting. And also, a good portion of them, about 44%, actually had adolescents. The ones who did treat adolescents actually had adolescents that were racial, ethnic minority as clients. The evaluation results that we did, I focused on just a few questions. From when they initially completed the modules, the questions from the questions that we asked them, about 90% said that they actually intended to change their behavior and their practice. And then also a substantial amount, about 75%, said they were more likely to make these changes. And about 58% said they planned to do it immediately. And in follow-up, which we said was 4 weeks after the course, which is a short follow-up, we still had a large percent that said 88% that said they intended to change their practice. But what we're really happy about was to hear that 34% had actually did some changes in their practice. We're hoping that number, you know, increases over time, but just to know that there are a good substantial amount that really actually implemented it, and there's still a considerable amount that plan to do it immediately or within the next 3 months. Also, some said that overall their practice had changed, at least moderately or slightly, that they changed some of their behavior within their practice, and it's probably dealing with clinical staff and being more aware of just trying to make the environment more youth-friendly. And we also want to see if the resources, the additional resources, in addition to the didactic lecture part of it, some of the resources in the toolboxes were helpful. We also left a space where they could inject some comments, and these are a little bit of the comments. You know, a lot of providers felt that they were able to become better listeners, or they were able to share the material with their staff, and they're more conscious that they need to do screening for mental health issues when dealing with HIV-infected adolescents, and also taking the time to see how the adolescent views their situation, and so that they're a partner in the care. And that's all. And if you want more information, this is my contact information at HRSA and my supervisor, and also Nicole, who works with the National Resource Center, the AIDS Education Training Center. As I said, CEUs aren't currently provided, but I did bring some bookmarks, so the information is still valuable if you want to know more about it. Any questions? I think we may have
time.
Yeah. Pastor, I thought. Okay, we'll go to the next presenter.
All right. Thank you very much. And we'll have some time at the end for questions if you think of something, sparked your interest later. So our next presentation is with Dr. Christine Markham. And Dr. Markham is at the University of Texas in Houston at the Health Science Center on the 26th floor. So she must have a nice view. Hopefully her office is still there after the last hurricane.
She can see Russia from there.
She can see Russia from there, right. So Dr. Markham is going to be presenting to us on, and I don't know the title, I'm sorry. Where'd you go? There it is. Okay.